We'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. I have a habit of, in my ministry in the Lord's Day mornings, of going through a book. And in my own pulpit in Ballygan, I've in recent times been going through 1 Peter. I've now finished that. I'm going through 2 Peter. So I'm going to give you a little bit about 1 Peter this morning. Not the whole loaf, just a few slices. And I trust the Lord will bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer, please. Our Father, we come to the word of God this morning. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word to our hearts. We pray that Thou wilt teach us the things of God this morning, that Thou wouldst lead us into Thy truth. And we pray that Thou wilt help us to imbibe the teaching of Thy word. And we pray that You'll apply it by Your Spirit to each one of our hearts. May the power of God rest upon the preacher and upon the people too. Apply Thy word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme of the book of 1 Peter is God's truth for all of our trials. And today I want to focus upon some verses here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. And the theme for today is bringing our sorrows into focus. Bringing our sorrows into focus. Things have been tough down through the centuries of time. In fact, right from the Garden of Eden, we could say, things have been tough. It's not an easy road. We're traveling to heaven. And of course, we recognize this world is not our home. We're not here forever. We're only here for a short period of time. And as we move into this chapter here of 1 Peter chapter 1, our sorrows are brought into focus as we look at these verses before us. And as we do so, there's a key word that we need ever to keep in mind. Not only today, but in every situation, circumstance of life. No matter how dark and how difficult or how dangerous the way may be, keep this word ever before us. It's the word salvation. You'll find it here in verse 5 of 1 Peter 1, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. You'll find it in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You'll discover it again in verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. What a glorious word this word salvation is. And this is the message we preach today. There is no other message that is sounding forth from this pulpit. In Acts 4 and 12 we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We have a great text behind our pulpit in Ballygowan there, salvation is of the Lord, everyone that comes into the church. And that was my focus when I chose that text to be put there. When we revamp the building, that everybody would be faced with the great truth, salvation is of the Lord. And my friend, it is the message that we preach. It is the word that lies at the very heart of the gospel. In fact, we could say it is the gospel. It is the great theme of the Bible, whether in the book of Genesis or in the book of Revelation, or in all the other books in between. There is no other theme that is preeminent than that of salvation. And what a comfort it is to the child of God going through a tough time. And maybe you're going through a tough time this morning. In sickness of your body, in the situation of your business, in the circumstances of your family, in the circumstances of your employment, in the relationships of life, in regard to making ends meet in a time of economic decline, etc., etc. You're going through a tough time. But let me say this morning that our salvation is unchanging. For our Savior is unchanging. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. And our salvation is unchanging as the Word of God never changes. The Word of God endureth forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It's a great comfort. Salvation. One of our senior elders, our brother Willie Boyd, he's just slipping away every day. But when we go in to see him, and I say, "It's Mr. Smiley here, Willie," he'd say, "Saved." And he keeps repeating that word, "Saved." What a comfort it is to know that we're saved. Salvation is all we have. And salvation is all we need this morning. And so, our sorrows are brought into focus here in these verses as we think this morning about this so great salvation. Verses 10 to 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1. There are a number of things that I want to draw your attention to here. First of all, the word searching. Searching. Look at verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The prophets searched into this truth of salvation. It was the subject, I suggest to you, of ancient contemplation. The Old Testament prophets, they wrote and prophesied that Christ was coming into the world. They saw the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ was in them. Of course, when we look at Scripture, we discover that He arranged the details of His birth. You cannot read the Old Testament without seeing this. He arranged the details of His life. He arranged the details of His death. For example, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, they give us an insight into the death that Christ died, the death of deaths, that He would die upon the cross. And also His burial and resurrection. And when we look at the Word of God, we see how these men wrote the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, or as they were borne along by the Spirit of God. They were given the words to write." The Spirit of God gave them these words, and they wrote them down. Then the Spirit later helped them to understand what they had written. Verses 11 and 12 of 1 Peter chapter 1. "They searched into these things, and the Spirit revealed to them the truths that they had written." You see, God gave it, the Word. They searched it. God revealed it. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 5 and verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me." They testify of Christ. They reveal Christ. They present Christ.
What did these ancients discover? Look at verse 10 here of the passage we've read from 1 Peter 1, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. What is this grace? It is unmerited, undeserved favor. Salvation is by grace. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. There are three words, key words, in God's dealing with man. First of all, there is justice. Secondly, there is mercy. And thirdly, there is grace. Justice is God giving to us what we deserve. Don't ask for justice. Because if we got our just deserve, we would be lost. We would be in hell. Mercy is God not giving to us what we deserve. Thank God for His mercy. And grace, of course, is God giving to us what we don't deserve. The undeserved, unmerited favor of God. And when God gives us His grace, He makes us righteous. You see, salvation is not the merit of man, but salvation is in the mercy and grace of God. And so, they searched into this matter of salvation. What a diligent searching that was. And then there's a word here in verse 12 also, and I described it as proclamation because it talks here on whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which was now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Here is proclamation. And that is the way the gospel is always to be preached. It's to be preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Let me always be dependent on the Spirit of God as I preach the Word of God. Let me never enter the pulpit to preach without that holy unction upon me to preach the gospel, to preach Christ. A preacher was preaching in a little country church. And after he preached, he asked one of the deacons to close in prayer. And as he prayed, that deacon, he asked the Lord, Lord, fill our preacher with the unction of the Spirit of God. And he said it again the second time. And he uttered it again the third time. On the way out, the preacher said to him, what did you mean when you prayed that? The deacon said, he scratched his head, he said, I don't know exactly what it means, but whatever it means, you haven't got it. And my friend, it is true that in many places the gospel is preached, but it is not preached with the anointing of the Spirit of God. There's a dead letter preaching today. There's a preaching of truth, no doubt, but not in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And the Word of God is to be preached by the man of God presenting Christ in the Spirit of God with the unction of God upon him. D.L. Moody was greatly used of God in his day. He was saved at the age of 19. He was very successful in building a work for God, a Sunday school there in Chicago, and of course a great church. There were two ladies in his congregation. They would often meet Mr. Moody and they would say to him, Mr. Moody, we are praying for you. And after a while he became a little curious. And so he asked them, what are you praying about? They said, Mr. Moody, we are praying that you will be anointed with power. At first, Moody was a bit irked by this.
maybe even a little hurt, he thought, well, maybe you should pray for somebody else because I'm very successful and I'm seeing people saved every week and God is blessing and God is moving. The church is growing. But then the Chicago fire took place. And Moody, for a time, he left the city of Chicago and he went to New York City and he walked the streets of New York seeking help for the people of Chicago. But God met him one day in a powerful manner. In such a way that he sought a room from a friend and there he poured out his soul unto God. And the Lord anointed him by his Spirit in such a way, in such a mighty way that he had to say, Lord, stay your hand. Stay your hand. He spoke very little about that experience. But there was a difference from that time in Moody's life and in his ministry. It was said of D.L. Moody that he took two continents and shook them for Jesus Christ. You know, I'm happy when people say, Pastor, I'm praying for you. That you'll have the anointing of the Spirit of God. Because I need it. I need it. And I covet the prayers of God's people. Because as I proclaim the message of the gospel, I need to preach the message of the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So pray for your preacher. Pray for your minister that in his ministry, in his pulpit services, and in his ministry from day to day, he will have upon him the unction of the Spirit of God. That's what our preachers need today. We can produce preachers who are full of academic prowess from our college. I'm not against that. I'm not one of the academics, by the way. But I tell you this, more than anything else, we need the power of the Spirit of God. We need preaching with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And then there's something else here. There's fascination. Look at verse 12. Which things the angels desire to look into. This word look is a very interesting word. The thought is that of looking at it with interest. Like seeing a beautiful flower and you stoop down to look at that flower more closely. It's the same word that is used when Peter came to the tomb in John 20 and verse 5. It says, he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying. He looked in with interest. My friend, the angels have a great interest in all that relates to salvation, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels sang in jubilation of the creation of this world. Of course, sin entered into the world, but then these angels desire to look into the unfolding of God's great plan of redemption. Showing there in the sacrifices of the Old Testament that blood must be shed to atone for sin. Revealing through the prophets the suffering and the sacrifice and the death. And the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ. They looked into these things. They searched diligently into these things. You remember Gabriel was told to tell Mary that she was going to be the mother of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And a multitude of other angels joined in praising God at the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2 verses 13 and 14. So the angels were fascinated with all that concerned Christ. They were fascinated by the birth of Christ. They were fascinated by the life of Christ because they saw him grow up in the carpenter's shop and they saw him grow into manhood and they see him as he lives and walks amongst men, a perfect life. They see him as he was reviled and ridiculed by the world. They see him as he was denied by Peter, as he's betrayed by Judas Iscariot, as he goes to the cross, as he bleeds and dies for the redemption of his people. To redeem sinners such as you and I. And they watched him die, the angels. The angels. The Lord said, think not that I could call the Father. He would send 10 legions of angels. That's what he said. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. And sinner, this morning, he died for sinners such as you. If you're not saved this morning, Christ died for the ungodly. It's the great truth of Scripture. You remember also the angels were at the tomb there when Jesus rose again from the dead in Luke 24:4. They testified that Christ was risen. The angels were there at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, announcing it. And also the second coming of the Lord is mentioned there in Acts 1:9-11. The angels are not finished yet. They're actually looking in at this worship service this morning. The angels. Great study of angels. In Ephesians 3:10, we read, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The principalities and powers in heavenly places are the angels. They're looking in at the church. They're learning from us the wisdom of God. We have a bigger congregation than what you thought this morning. The angels are looking in on us. And when the time comes for you to die, God is going to send his angels to carry you home. Because in Luke 16, the angels carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. They're going to carry you into the Lord's presence. They bear the saints to heaven. So the angels are very, very important. But with all of that, all the angels can do is stand on the outside and study their salvation, our salvation. They cannot experience it. They're fascinated by it. They search into it. Which things desire the angels desire to look into? The hymn writer has penned those words, holy, 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 is what the angels sing. And I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing salvation story, they must fold their wings, for angels can never know the joy that our salvation brings. How wonderful to know this salvation. How wonderful. Do you know it this morning? Have you experienced God's salvation in your heart? If you don't know it, thank God you can know it today. If you don't come to Christ, thank God you can accept him today as your Savior. It's a wonderful thing to have God's salvation. But then there's a fourth thing here, and it's consummation. Look at verse 13 of 1 Peter 1. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember, he's talking to those who are suffering. To those who are going through tough times. And maybe you're suffering this morning. When I preached these messages, I didn't know what I was personally going to have to go through for a lot of months, and my wife was going to have to go through. I was preaching through this. That time, a man in my church came to me sometime afterwards. He said to me, Mr. Smiley, you said one Sunday, if you haven't gone through suffering, you're about to go through suffering, or you're about to come out of it. And he said, I was about to go into it. And he's going through it at this present time, and his family. My friend, there are tough times for God's people, sometime in your life's experience. But what is Peter saying here? He's saying to those that are going through tough times, he's saying it's time for you to do some serious thinking. The thought is here, gird up the loins of your mind. You see, in those days they wore long garments as they, when they were even going to work, and they would have to gather up these garments and get a belt around them in order to work or to run. Otherwise they would trip up in the garment. So what they needed to do and what we need to do is gather up the loose ends, bring everything into focus. Gird up the loins of your mind. What you need to do in the midst of your trial is to do some sober thinking. One of the most difficult things to do is to get people to think today. People will press a button and go onto a computer or flick down the phone. I do it all the time. But we need to do some sober thinking. Think. Peter is telling them here, Christ is coming. His glory is going to be revealed. We need to bring our sorrows into focus to get a view and a vision of what is coming. You know, people mock when we speak about the sweet by and by. They say, oh, that's pie in the sky. But friend, it's the hope of the future. It brings meaning to our suffering and to our tears right now. Peter is showing us that the glories of the future can bring into proper perspective the sufferings and the agonies, the traumas and the tears of the present. And Peter links the suffering and the glory always together. I want you to see that here in verse 11. He's talking here about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Chapter 4, verse 13, the same epistle. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but in your part is glorifying. Chapter 4, verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Chapter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, whom are also an elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. The glory. Again, verses 10 and 11. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory. Chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. By Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so there's a link between the suffering and the glory. And God always links suffering and glory all through this epistle. There are four words that you must keep together here. Guilt, grief, grace, and glory. People say they don't want all of this suffering. So they don't want to become a Christian. Well, friend, that's entirely up to you this morning. But you're going to suffer anyway. And all your suffering will have no meaning. Because sin causes sorrow like night follows day. Nobody born into this world is going to get through without some grief. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. But God's grace brings glory. Don't just see the grief and the guilt, but see the grace and the glory. We need to see that there is more coming. There is glory coming. Think of the words of Paul there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, what he said there. These are wonderful words. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon, he said, that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. They're not worthy to be compared. Few men suffered like the apostles suffered. But listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Listen to these words of Scripture and what words they are. He said, for our light affliction, which is but a moment, worketh for us, listen, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Far more exceeding the eternal weight of glory. Are you getting it hard this morning? Are things tough for you? Thank God there's a better day coming. Jesus Christ, who suffered and died on the cross, has risen again. He has ascended to be with the Father. He's coming again. That will be glory for all who are saved. Notice the words repeated here. 1 Peter 1, going back to it. 1 Peter 1, verses 10, 12, and 13. The words unto you. I'll repeat it. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you.
unto you. That's verse 10. And again, use similar words in verses 12 and 13. Why all of this? Why all of this? It's for us. It's for you. It's for me this morning. We are right in the middle of it. It would be a shame to miss it. Why should others be saved and you be lost this morning? Why should others be saved? Why should other people have their hurts turned into hallelujahs and their midnights turned to mourning? The world is filled with guilt and grief. It's a sorrowful world, but Christ is there. And in Christ there's joy unspeakable for the glory. You need to have this hope this morning. If you're born again, you have it. You know, people that are born into a Muslim home, they're Muslims. People are born into a Jewish home. They practice the Jewish religion. You may have been born into a Christian home, but that doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't make you a Christian. You must be born again to be a Christian. Have you been born again this morning? The Bible says you must be born again. It is unto you, you see. It's up to you. Don't miss the opportunity this morning of experiencing His grace and having a prospect of the glory. Make no delay and come to the Lord this morning. Let us pray. Father, we pray that Thou will bless Thy word to our hearts. We thank Thee, Lord, for the truth of Thy word. Apply it to our hearts this morning. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.